A Story Publishing presents Equilibrium Reborn. In a quiet, book-lined reading room that exudes both history and promise, we begin our journey with Gerald Charlton, a mid-20th century thinker whose scattered manuscripts have long slumbered in the archives. The leather-bound folios and yellowed pages, carefully preserved against the march of time, reveal a mind restless for innovation. As you, the listener, settle in, imagine the soft rustle of paper and the warm glow of an antique lamp illuminating Charlton's notes, a tangible link between eras, bridging the classical world of macroeconomic thought and the brisk pace of today's digital revolution. Charlton emerges as an enigmatic figure, a scholar whose ideas dared to question and reframe the established ISLMFE model. Until now, his theories remained largely in the shadows, eclipsed by mainstream narratives. Yet at a moment when artificial intelligence and robotics are rewriting the rules of business and finance faster than any technology in modern history, these long-abandoned manuscripts offer more than a historical curiosity. They remind us that theoretical frameworks are not relics destined for dusty shelves, but vibrant, adaptable tools to understand a transforming world. The traditional ISLMFE model has long depicted a delicate balance. Investment and saving shape the IS curve, money supply and liquidity preferences define the LM curve, and the FE curve marks full employment output where labor markets settle into equilibrium. Charlton's vision takes aim at this familiar framework, weaving in the transformative potential of thinking machines and pairing it with a revolutionary perspective on how work itself is structured in modern organizations. This volume unfolds two intertwined aims. First, it traces the journey of each macroeconomic curve in the age of AI and robotics, and asks, how do machine-driven processes alter the fundamental forces of economic equilibrium? Charlton's notes hint at scenarios in which these once rigid curves shift dynamically, challenging us to rethink fiscal and monetary policy. Second, it ventures into corporate management, proposing a division of labor that distinguishes tasks efficiently executed by AI from those that remain under the helm of human creativity and judgment. In doing so, it invites us to rework the fabric of organizational design and to question which roles are ripe for automation and which are inherently human. As we turn these pages, the reading room becomes a crucible of ideas. Picture a scholar seated at an oak desk, meticulously annotating margins with insights and questions, his voice speaking to us across time. What do we stand to gain from revisiting a theory once left unfinished? How might merging classical economic calculus with emergent AI dynamics redefine our approach to markets and work itself? Allow these questions to guide you. How would the balance of investment and saving recalibrate when capital becomes a self-learning entity capable of optimizing resources without human delays? And what of our societal fabric? Are we ready to resolve the tensions that arise when human roles yield to algorithmic efficiency? Charlton's work offers no easy answers, but lays out a landscape rich with possibilities, inviting both scholarly inquiry and practical reflection. Throughout this audiobook, theoretical constructs will be set alongside tangible examples, from automated logistics hubs in global ports to the subtle transformations in monetary policy brought about by algorithmic trading. Each narrative thread illuminates the intricate dance between enduring economic principles and the disruptive potential of emerging technologies. Charlton's larger invitation is twofold: to revisit and reconstruct an idea that feels both archaic and startlingly prescient, and to reflect on our own roles as policymakers, business leaders, or active participants in an evolving labor market. In what ways might integrated digital technologies alter the landscape of investment and employment? Which parts of our economic system remain most vulnerable to the relentless pace of automation, and where might innovation breathe new life into potentially stagnant sectors? Imagine each economic curve as a thread in a grand tapestry. The IS curve, once defined by planned investment and desired savings, now feels the transformative push of digital capital and machine-enhanced decision-making. The LM curve, a testament to money supply and liquidity preference, seeks reinterpretation in light of programmable monetary instruments and instantaneous settlement. And the FE curve, once a fixed boundary of full employment, becomes a dynamic threshold, continuously reshaped by technological displacement and human ingenuity. Yet amid these probing questions and theoretical shifts, a comforting continuity endures. Economists have always sought to understand the balance of forces that govern our collective well-being. Charlton's reflections, subtle but profound, echo through time, urging us to look both backward and forward. Pause now and let these questions resonate. Reflect on how technology has already begun to reshape your world of work. Consider the historical shifts in economic thought and how new realities demand both caution and optimism. By the close of this chapter, you will have laid the intellectual groundwork to explore investment, money, and full employment through Charlton's lens. Our journey echoes the spirit of his original inquiry, part homage to a past thinker, part forging of new paths where artificial intelligence intertwines with economic theory, and part reimagining of human capital in an era when machines become active participants in our economic dialogue. With this spirit of discovery, we now turn to the traditional ISLMFE framework in its original context, building the foundation that will allow us to see clearly how, in Charlton's view, each element is capable of transformation. Every equation is not an endpoint, but a starting point for further exploration and debate in an ever-changing world. Let us now step into a vibrant chapter of exploration, one that dissects the mechanics of the IS curve while inviting us to reimagine a world where artificial intelligence fuels capital deepening in ways once thought impossible. Picture the familiar landscape of macroeconomics, where investment and saving dance a delicate waltz along a curve defined by interest rates and expectations. At its core, the IS curve plots every combination of output and interest rate at which planned investment equals desired saving, acting as the marketplace's silent arbiter between entrepreneurial zeal and fiscal restraint. Traditionally, a drop in interest rates spurs firms to expand production, purchase new machinery, or embark on research and development projects. At the same time, lower returns on deposits temper the incentive to save. The result is a rightward shift along the IS curve, with higher output supported by increased investment. But what happens when the catalysts of investment are no longer just human foresight, but also algorithmic precision and machine learning? Imagine an automated logistics hub in Rotterdam, where robotic cranes coordinate with breathtaking efficiency, guided by real-time data and self-learning algorithms. Every container's journey is optimized, ensuring that capital investments in infrastructure deliver returns beyond human forecast alone. This is capital deepening re-envisioned, not merely the accumulation of assets, but the infusion of smart, adaptive processes that enhance productivity instantly. In his scattered manuscripts, Charlton was remarkably prescient. He argued that when AI becomes a form of capital, it does more than replace manual operations, it elevates overall production, reshaping the IS curve itself. In his formulation, the infusion of decision-making algorithms into production systems pushes the curve outward so that for any given interest rate, a higher equilibrium level of output emerges. A manufacturing firm that integrates AI-driven inventory management, for example, can reduce costs and expand capacity, rippling outward to influence aggregate demand through a rebalanced investment-saving relationship. To understand this transformation, let us consider three distinctive pathways. In a slow adoption world, hindered by regulatory caution, institutional inertia, and market skepticism, the IS curve shifts modestly outward, perhaps by 2%, as smart technologies quietly enhance productivity without upending established practices. In a more balanced transition, early successes in AI-powered crop management in Iowa or precision energy grid adjustments inspire broader uptake. Here, the curve might move 4% to the right, reflecting robust investments and growing confidence among business leaders. Finally, in a rapid adoption scenario, where AI integration is swift and catalytic, the IS curve could surge 6% or more, driven by an acute recognition of AI's ability to optimize every production process. But Charlton warned, and modern studies confirm, that such exuberance can outpace real productivity gains, inviting bubbles and illuminating the specter of diminishing marginal returns in oversaturated sectors. This comparative framework, slow, moderate, and rapid, offers not only quantifiable shifts along the IS curve, but also a dynamic narrative of transformation. It tempers Charlton's vision of relentless growth with contemporary insights, reminding us that initial bursts of productivity may mellow as markets adjust to new equilibrium conditions. Consider a corporate boardroom where the CFO, armed with predictive analytics, maps out investment projects with unprecedented accuracy. In one scenario, she envisions a steady, confident shift mirroring the moderate pathway, a measured recalibration of production's equilibrium. In another, a nimble startup leaps ahead, igniting a flurry of investments that lift output dramatically, albeit at the risk of short-term overheating. As you listen, reflect on your own vantage in this unfolding landscape. How do you weigh the promise of rapid technological advancement against the wisdom of measured adaptation? Charlton's recovered notes urge us to explore this delicate balance, reminding us that every shift in the curve carries both immense opportunity and the imperative for careful stewardship. The IS curve, once a static line in a textbook, becomes a living manifestation of collective decision-making and our relentless drive toward efficiency. Pause now and consider, in your field or area of interest, how might the balance between algorithmic investments and traditional savings strategies redefine not just output levels, but the very foundations of economic growth? What does it mean when every investment decision can be informed by vast data streams, processed in milliseconds by learning algorithms, while conventional notions of risk and return are reimagined? Charlton's vision and its contemporary reinterpretations beckons you to look beyond the numbers and imagine a future where AI reshapes the very fabric of progress. With these reflections in mind, let us carry forward the intricate picture of the IS curve reimagined for a world where innovation and tradition continue their timeless dance. As our journey deepens, this living curve will guide us through the shifting contours of investment, savings, and the algorithmic forces reshaping tomorrow's economy. In the gentle cadence of a quiet study, we now shift our focus from the investments and savings that stretch the IS curve to the realm of money itself, a realm ever more alive with pulses of algorithmic trading, digital ledgers, and the possibilities of artificial intelligence at monetary policy's helm. Picture, too, that intimate reading room, its oak shelves glowing in soft lamplight, where Gerald Charlton might have paused to pen a marginal note. Now shift that scene to a bustling financial hub at the heart of London, where screens shimmer with streaming tickers and algorithms execute trades in microseconds. Here, the age-old questions of liquidity preference and the role of cash find themselves reborn in this digital crucible, as the traditional LM curve, once static and bound to paper, takes on new, dynamic dimensions. The LM curve, in its classic form, emerged from a world where people held money both for everyday transactions and as a safeguard against uncertainties, a preference that balanced with the efficiency of bank-issued credit. In that earlier era, central banks like the Federal Reserve or the Bank of England adjusted reserve requirements and bought or sold government securities to maintain equilibrium between money supply and demand. The curve plotted every combination of national income and interest rate for which the money market cleared, capturing the trade-off between the desire for liquidity and the opportunity cost of foregoing higher interest yields. In a time of paper currency and slow interbank transfers, this upward-sloping line reflected how rising incomes drove greater cash balances at progressively higher rates. Today, that narrative is being rewritten more rapidly than ever before. Imagine an investment bank whose algorithms do more than execute orders. They anticipate microsecond imbalances and rebalance positions before human traders even blink. In the early 1990s, electronic trading was a novelty. Screens flashed in hushed trading floors, but decisions still relied on human intuition. Now, self-learning models guided by real-time data streams move capital at astonishing speed. Instantaneous settlements and distributed ledgers replace the paper trails of old, calling into question the very need to hold cash for transactions. The transactional demand for money, traditionally a simple function of spending needs, now competes with the promise of zero-latency finance. As these systems accelerate the pace of trade, the cost of waiting for a favorable interest rate, the margin often captured by traditional monetary policy, appears to shrink. Liquidity preference, once the domain of human caution and the comfort of tangible banknotes, now encounters machines that continuously recalibrate themselves based on massive data inputs. If every balance and every payment is managed by code able to adjust in real time, the historical relationship between desired cash holdings and prevailing rates loses its familiar shape. In a world of smart money, might liquidity preference become nearly detached from rate fluctuations, with the LM curve flattening toward near interest inelasticity? To probe this possibility, let us imagine a near-future central bank that has fully embraced a programmable central bank digital currency. Instead of steering liquidity through periodic open market operations, it deploys a suite of AI-driven tools that monitor thousands of indicators, ranging from core inflation and unemployment to consumer spending patterns and market sentiment. Smart contracts automatically expand or contract the digital currency supply in response to pre-coded rules, while machine learning models forecast stress points before they erupt into crises. In this vision, money is no longer a static ledger entry, but an adaptive medium, constantly evolved by artificial intelligence working beneath the surface of every transaction. In such an environment, banks and households might come to rely on the instant availability of liquidity, confident that digital money can be summoned at a click or a code-based trigger. The precautionary motive to hold cash, once a bulwark against uncertainty, could fade as participants trust in algorithmically guaranteed market depth. The LM curve that once rose steeply as national income grew might instead stretch nearly flat, indicating little change in desired money balances across a broad range of incomes and rates. Consequently, monetary policy tools would shift. Rather than nudging short-term rates, central banks might adjust algorithmic parameters directly, effectively rewriting the rulebook of macroeconomic management. Yet this vision carries risks that invite a healthy dose of skepticism. Critics recall the May 6, 2010 flash crash, when automated trading algorithms triggered a rapid market plunge, wiping away nearly $1 trillion in value within minutes. They warn that, in a fully digital regime, a single misfiring code or an erroneous data feed could provoke a sudden withdrawal of liquidity, unleashing shockwaves far greater than any human-induced panic. Under such conditions, market participants might actually increase their precautionary demand for money, hedging against the possibility of algorithmic missteps by holding extra digital balances, ironically reinforcing the very curve flattening policymakers hope to achieve. Central banks themselves are already balancing this promise and peril. The Bank of England pioneers real-time forecasting models that leverage machine learning, while the Federal Reserve experiments with AI-driven stress tests designed to gauge banks' resilience under simulated shocks. Yet every advance amplifies a new complexity. As digital currencies and automated markets expand, central banks must grapple with nonlinear risk contagion that can propagate across global financial networks in milliseconds. In this landscape, traditional liquidity facilities and lender of last resort frameworks require reimagining, no longer tied to paper currency or manual authorizations, but orchestrated by code-driven protocols capable of self-adjustment. It is in this tension between precision and unpredictability that the LM curve of a smart money world finds its most fascinating narrative arc. On one side lies the allure of markets that respond with surgical precision to microeconomic signals. On the other, the specter of sudden instabilities born of hyperspeed feedback loops. These conflicting trajectories remind us that technological progress, while full of transformative potential, does not erase economic uncertainty, it reframes it. Charlton's original insight that the shape of money demand is contingent on the instruments we use resonates powerfully today, urging us to reconsider not just policy lever settings, but the very architecture of monetary systems. As you consider these developments, remember that policymakers are no longer passive technicians deploying tools at arm's length. Technology itself becomes an active participant in shaping behavior and expectations. When retail payments, corporate treasuries, and interbank settlements all run on AI-augmented rails, trust in the monetary system hinges on the robustness of algorithms as much as on institutional credibility. The questions thus shift from how much money should we supply to which code-based safeguards and governance frameworks can ensure algorithmic decisions align with public interest objectives. Perhaps the wisest path forward lies in embracing uncertainty as an integral feature of the digital monetary paradigm. Just as engineers design bridges with safety tolerances for unexpected loads, central banks might build adaptive feedback loops, systems that learn, self-correct, and evolve with each economic pulse. This does not promise a utopia of perfect stability. Rather, it acknowledges that decision-making speeds will outstrip human reaction times, and that resilience requires both technological safeguards and human oversight. It is a delicate choreography between machine precision and the enduring judgment that no code can fully replicate. As you reflect on these possibilities in your day-to-day routines or moments of quiet contemplation, ask yourself, how would your own experience of money change when liquidity is managed not by human prudence alone, but by shifting algorithms with a pulse of their own? What would it mean for your savings and spending decisions if your bank could promise near limitless liquidity in an instant, limited only by lines of code? And what does it imply for our collective economic future if the safe haven of cash becomes just another variable in a vast automated ecosystem? Let these questions guide you as the LM curve transforms from a static textbook line into a living narrative, one that maps the evolving interplay of technology, trust, and the timeless quest for balance in an ever-changing world. As we step softly from the digital tempo of money and markets, we turn our attention to the labor market, a realm that, despite relentless technological evolution, remains the heart of our shared human endeavor. In the classical IMFE framework, the FE curve signifies the level of output where the economy reaches full employment. Every willing worker finds a job and wages remain steady without igniting inflation. Yet Gerald Charlton saw an opportunity to reframe this familiar narrative. His gradual yet abrupt labor thesis invites us to look beyond static equilibrium, imagining a market where automation begins incrementally, quietly substituting routine tasks and rewiring job functions, only to surge, sometimes unexpectedly, when robotic capabilities cross a critical threshold. Picture a sprawling industrial complex where basic robotics first replaced repetitive assembly line work. Early on, productivity gains felt modest and contained. Workers shifted into maintenance roles, systems analysis, and quality control, and overall employment held firm. But as robots acquired hand-eye coordination, natural language processing, and integrated sensor arrays, the transformation deepened. Charlton argued that what unfolds as a gradual reallocation of tasks can so suddenly redefine entire industries that the FE curve itself bends in dramatic ways. Today's data validate his insight. The International Federation of Robotics shows that while routine manual jobs wane, positions in programming, while robotics maintenance, and system design proliferate, sometimes within the same sector. In logistics, automated sorting and delivery systems have eliminated certain roles but created new ones for AI auditors and synthetic data ethicists. In healthcare, diagnostic algorithms have spurred demand for practitioners who interpret machine-generated results with empathy and human judgment. This duality, displacement paralleled by creation, is at the heart of Charlton's gradual yet abrupt shift. To mediate these changes, governments worldwide are deploying policies to cushion dislocation and fuel new opportunities. Comprehensive retraining programs, wage subsidies, and community-based transition initiatives help regions with strong educational infrastructures adapt more gracefully, while areas lacking such support face steeper challenges. One illustrative story comes from a Midwestern city once dominated by automotive parts manufacturing. As routine assembly migrated to automated systems, community colleges partnered with industry to retrain workers in advanced manufacturing and robotics maintenance. Curricula blending technological competence with digital process management allowed displaced workers to find new roles in a transformed sector, embodying Charlton's vision of loss and creation side by side. This labor market evolution also calls for personal reflection. What skills, both technical and uniquely human, do you bring to your profession? Consider the tasks you perform day to day. Are they routine processes, or do they demand creative problem solving, empathy, and strategic judgment? Take a moment, perhaps during your commute or in a quiet pause, to audit your own skill set. Identify which capabilities machines can complement and which require the irreplaceable nuance of human insight. Such self-assessment is more than personal development. It is essential navigation in a market that continually redraws its boundaries. The FE curve, therefore, is not a fixed benchmark, but a dynamic threshold shaped by dual engines of displacement and invention. For policymakers, this means balancing immediate support, emergency retraining, and financial assistance with long-term investments in education and innovation ecosystems. Employers must foster cultures of continuous learning, integrating upskilling into career pathways rather than treating it as an occasional program. As automation advances, those institutions that can retool workforces proactively will be best positioned to sustain full employment in its evolving form. Our exploration of the FE curve mirrors our uncertain times, reminding us that full employment is not merely a number, but a measure of human dignity and adaptability. From Silicon Valley's high-tech corridors to industrial towns undergoing robotic reinvention, the interplay of innovation and tradition continues to shape our collective future. Before we move on to examine how IS, LM, and FE interact dynamically, reflect on this pivotal question. In an age where machines grow ever more capable, what part of your skills portfolio remains uniquely human, and what new abilities might you cultivate to thrive at the intersection of creativity and technology? With Carleton's gradual yet abrupt paradigm as our lens, we now stand at a crossroads where the promise of full employment is reframed by the inexorable forces of automation, inviting each of us to engage actively in shaping a future where human insight and machine efficiency coexist, complement, and inspire. Imagine the IS, LM, and FE curves as threads woven into a single living tapestry, each one responding to the others in a dance of investment, liquidity, and labor. In one world, advanced AI and robotics surge ahead under nearly unbridled regulation. Here, businesses pour capital into self-learning algorithms that optimize every step of production, shifting the IS curve sharply outward. Smart factories and automated logistics hubs turn traditional assets into dynamic engines of growth, while programmable money and digital currencies flatten the LM curve as liquidity preferences become almost rate insensitive. The FE curve strains under the speed of automation. Routine tasks vanish in an instant, yet demand for high-skill labor, technicians, data scientists, creative overseers, rises just as quickly, producing moments of dislocation even as new opportunities emerge. Shift to a second scenario where technology advances steadily but under tight safety standards and robust social safeguards. Businesses still drive the IS curve outward with targeted AI investments, yet growth is tempered by predictable, rule-bound oversight. Central banks deploy algorithmic tools with caution, nudging liquidity rather than unleashing it wholesale, and the LM curve moves only modestly. Meanwhile, governments cushion the FE curve's bends with retraining programs, wage supports, and strategic reskilling initiatives. Displaced workers find pathways into emerging sectors even as advanced technology reshapes their roles, creating a dynamic yet balanced equilibrium, one in which growth and stability hold hands. A third landscape unfolds under fractured techno-protectionism, where national sovereignty trumps cross-border data flows and regulatory regimes vary sharply. Here, the IS curve flexes unevenly. Some industries leap forward on domestic AI projects, while others falter under export restrictions and inconsistent standards. Monetary authorities juggle old-school banking with selective digital currency pilots, producing an LM curve jagged with local inefficiencies. The FE curve, too, bends irregularly. Some regions carve out protected niches and engineer lively labor market transitions, while others endure starker dislocations without the benefit of integrated global markets. Recent data from the IMF and OECD breathe life into these scenarios. In permissive regimes, output gains of up to 6% have been recorded, in carefully regulated economies, closer to 4%, and in fragmented systems, only 2-3%. This evidence fuels a vigorous debate. Proponents of dynamic stochastic general equilibrium models argue that, with endogenous technology shocks and adaptive policy rules, DSGE frameworks already replicate many of Charlton's predicted shifts. They claim these models capture smooth adjustments in investment, liquidity, and employment across different regulatory climates. Yet Charlton's two-phase inflection, an almost abrupt leap once AI substitutes and complements labor simultaneously, reveals non-linear path dependencies that conventional models may struggle to reproduce. His manuscripts remind us that equilibrium can emerge not only from gradual tuning, but from sudden tipping points where technological momentum reconfigures entire systems at once. As you listen, consider how these interlocking curves shape real-world lives. Will policymakers trust the reassuring gradualism of calibrated models, or will they brace for jolts that demand swift, unconventional responses? How should investors balance the promise of exponential growth against the risk of abrupt corrections? And what skills will workers need when the boundaries between human insight and machine efficiency blur in unexpected ways? The tapestry of IS, LM, and FE curves tells a story of promise and peril, where each thread, investment, money, labor, both influences and is reshaped by the others. With these reflections in mind, we turn now to the next chapter of our journey, ready to explore how emerging debates and new data will continue to refine our understanding of an economy in motion. Imagine stepping into a bustling corporate boardroom where strategy meetings echo with the hum of innovation and tradition alike. Prosody rake. Here, Charlton's mandate unfolds. Reimagine every business as a finely tuned interface between AI-doable tasks and those demanding human judgment and creativity. The CFO, the operations manager, and the HR team gather around a virtual whiteboard, mapping each process onto a 2x2 grid that separates tasks technologically feasible and economically viable for automation from those that require empathy, ethical nuance, or creative problem solving. This exercise calls for profound introspection. At ING Bank, a detailed audit revealed that transaction processing and risk assessment could be automated, while customer service interactions and innovation-driven projects demanded a human touch. By entrusting routine data work to AI, the bank freed employees to tackle strategic decisions and build relationships, an elegant balance of machine precision and human insight. Yet such a balance is neither straightforward nor uncontested. Charlton championed the role of external consultants whose broad experience and fresh perspectives can cut through internal tunnel vision. When Walmart faced the challenge of optimizing its logistics supply chains without sacrificing customer experience, outside experts helped delineate exactly which processes could be handed to smart inventory systems and which needed the nuanced understanding of local staff. Critics counter that over-reliance on outsiders risks diluting a firm's unique culture. As organizations build their own AI centers of excellence and open-source frameworks proliferate, many argue that in-house capabilities better align technology with strategic priorities. The real challenge is marrying these external insights with the deep, contextual knowledge that longtime employees bring to complex problems. At the heart of Charlton's doctrine lies the imperative to preserve roles that remain inherently human. In healthcare, diagnostic algorithms can sift through medical images in seconds, but the interpretive narrative of patient care, woven with empathy, moral judgment, and deep context, depends on clinicians. The NHS, for example, identifies these human-centric roles and invests in their development, ensuring staff become interpreters and overseers of algorithmic outputs rather than competitors with them. Across industries, successful transformations share a common thread. They treat automation as an ongoing dialogue rather than a one-off project. Multidisciplinary teams, combining management, IT, HR, and frontline employees, map current workflows and envision future states. Leaders walk the factory floor and office corridors, engaging with staff whose daily tasks reveal hidden inefficiencies or over-engineered checkpoints. These conversations frame automation as liberation. How can machines free you to focus on what only you can do best? From this emerges a dual pathway. AI boosts efficiency while companies invest in reskilling, creative problem workshops, and new strategic roles. Consider a global retailer's customer service overhaul. A mapping exercise showed that bots could handle routine order tracking and initial inquiries, leaving human agents to resolve disputes, manage crises with empathy, and drive continuous improvement. The result was not only cost savings, but also a marked rise in customer satisfaction. In this restructured ecosystem, AI and humanity coexist, each amplifying the other's strengths. Whether in retail giants or Silicon Valley startups, organizational success now depends on harmonizing machine precision with human ingenuity. Inspired by Charlton's vision, leaders chart new frontiers in process automation while actively investing in their most valuable asset, their people. Training programs, mentorship schemes, and cross-department collaborations become permanent fixtures, buffering against automation's jolts and fostering continuous professional growth. This transition is not an overnight revolution, but a measured evolution. Charlton's doctrine invites every firm to embark on a shared journey in which external consultants catalyze change and internal teams learn to blend data-driven efficiency with human creativity. The first step is always the same. Map every process with a discerning eye, viewing technology as a partner rather than a replacement. As this chapter draws to a close, picture again that boardroom glowing with anticipation. Before strategic leaders lies a tapestry of choices, a grid revealing where AI can streamline operations and where human insight must prevail. True success is defined not solely by rapid technological adoption, but by the thoughtful orchestration of a dual workforce that unites the mechanical with the moral, data with empathy, and efficiency with imagination. Let Charlton's doctrine guide you like a beacon, reminding us that every disruptive innovation carries the seeds of renewed human purpose. The grid you have envisioned is more than a diagram. It is a living roadmap for the future of work. Your organization, regardless of size or sector, stands on the brink of transformation. Harness external wisdom, draw on internal expertise, and move forward with deliberate care. In doing so, you honor a brilliant thinker and forge a world where technology liberates rather than displaces, collaborates rather than competes, and ultimately elevates the human spirit to unprecedented heights. As our journey draws to a thoughtful close, we return once more to that venerable archive table, where the echoes of Gerald Charlton's inquiries converge with the urgent questions of our digital age. Having traced the IS, LM, and FE curves through the lens of artificial intelligence and robotics, we now step back to survey the broader landscape and ask, what does Charlton's work mean for us today, and what might it yet inspire? His unpublished manuscripts, like time-worn maps rediscovered in a modern metropolis, remind us that classical economic frameworks are not relics destined for display, but dynamic instruments capable of capturing the evolving interplay of investment, money, and labor in an algorithm-driven world. Charlton's intuition continues to illuminate our path. Across boardrooms where decisions pivot on real-time data as much as human insight, and on factory floors where algorithmic rhythms set the pace of production, his central message resonates. Adaptation is not enough. We must harness the transformative power of technology to reimagine the purpose and structure of work itself. Yet his legacy remains by design unfinished, a grand symphony marked by unanswered questions. How precisely do threshold effects reshape the IS curve when AI upgrades cross critical thresholds? In what ways do political economy feedback loops influence monetary policy when programmable currencies collide with human trust? And how do managerial choices and human capital interact with emergent technologies in ways that defy simple quantification? Our exploration has shown both promise and peril. We have witnessed algorithmically enhanced growth, where digital liquidity pulses through financial architectures and adaptive central bank protocols redefine equilibrium. We have seen labor markets in flux, where routine tasks yield to displacement even as novel roles, custodians of machine-generated insights, orchestrators of human-machine collaboration, emerge in turn. These vivid chapters underscore the urgent need to design economic models and policy frameworks attuned to nonlinear feedback, unexpected tipping points, and the enduring quest for stability alongside innovation. So where do we go from here? Charlton's unfinished treatise sketches an ambitious research agenda that demands our collective energy. We must integrate machine learning uncertainty into macroeconomic models, endowing them with the capacity to anticipate and adapt to rapid technological shocks. Longitudinal labor market studies should chart the intricate dance of job displacement and job creation, revealing which skills prove most resilient to automation. Scholars and practitioners are called to pilot process redesign frameworks across diverse cultural and regulatory environments, testing how corporate task mapping grids perform in settings as varied as Silicon Valley, Shenzhen, and suburban manufacturing towns. In practical terms, this forward agenda means forging new alliances between theory and practice. Academics can partner with industry groups and central banks to develop simulation platforms that capture both AI's capacity for productivity and its potential for systemic disruption. Pilot programs, whether in automated logistics hubs or programmable currency trials, offer invaluable real-world feedback, data that refine our theoretical models and shape policy innovations. In this way, Charlton's doctrine evolves from the pages of mid-century manuscripts into a living dialogue that guides corporate strategies, informs regulatory design, and enriches public debate. Charlton's voice reminds us that economics is not merely the study of equilibria and efficiency, it is fundamentally a story of human endeavor. It is a narrative of how societies balance ambition with prudence, risk with responsibility, technological progress with the preservation of human dignity. His work does not deliver ironclad conclusions, but instead challenges us to remain vigilant, scrutinizing the ethical and institutional frameworks in which machines operate to ensure that algorithmic efficiency never supersedes accountability or social cohesion. Imagine a future in which machines shoulder the burdens of routine calculation and data processing, liberating human minds to pursue creativity, ethical deliberation, and strategic insight. Envision central banks that wield algorithmic precision hand in hand with a deep appreciation for the social and psychological dimensions of trust and liquidity. Picture organizations that embrace automation not as a blunt instrument, but as a finely calibrated partner, blending external expertise with institutional wisdom to create workplaces where technology and humanity enhance one another's strengths. As we stand at this intellectual crossroads, the responsibility now belongs to each of us, researchers, policymakers, business leaders, and individuals alike, to carry Charlton's questions forward. Engage in interdisciplinary debates, challenge existing dogmas, and contribute to pilot initiatives that test the boundaries of what we believe possible. In boardrooms, lecture halls, community forums, and digital platforms, the conversation must continue, refining our theories, stress-testing our assumptions, and reimagining the economic architecture of a world in rapid technological transformation. Our final invitation is both simple and profound. Remain curious. Let the puzzles and provocations in Charlton's work spark your own inquiry. If you are a scholar, venture boldly into uncharted territories of data and model building. If you are a corporate leader, assemble diverse teams to map tasks and reshape processes that honor both efficiency and empathy. If you ponder these ideas in your personal and professional lives, reflect on the unique contributions you can make at the nexus of machine capability and human creativity. In this critical epilogue, Charlton's manuscripts transform from dusty archives into beacons for the future. His insights, prescient, incomplete, and provocative, urge us to view economic progress as a shared venture, one that thrives on dialogue, experimentation, and the courage to question even our most entrenched beliefs. As you leave these pages, carry his questions into your own work and life. The future is neither predetermined nor waiting to be discovered. It is something we must co-create. In that endeavor, your voice and your willingness to explore, innovate, and reflect becomes an indispensable part of the chorus. Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.